You know, there is, when somebody is rescued, there is a lot of joy that is expressed. And in this music this morning, you've heard this idea of the fact that God has rescued each of us. You may remember a story that happened back in the summer. There were 12 young men and their soccer coach who were trapped in this cave in Thailand. How many of you remember that story? I mean, they'd gone way back in this cave. They'd gone through very narrow passages. It was somewhat dry when they went through there. But while they were in the cave, rains came and filled that cave up so that they could no longer walk back out of that cave. In fact, a good portion of it was underwater. And the whole world just watched with anticipation. What was going to happen to these 12 young men and their soccer coach? Were they going to live or were they going to die? And so plans were made, and eventually in Thailand, their Thai SEAL team went into that cave at great risk. I mean, it was one of the most dangerous rescue operations there have been. And those divers went in there. They had to dive under in darkness through that cave. And in little groups, they eventually delivered all of those young men and their coach out of there safely. And the world rejoiced. There was joy. I can guarantee you that those boys' parents were joyful, wouldn't you? And that nation was grateful to that Thai SEAL team who rescued those boys. And really, the world rejoiced. It was some good news in a dark world. Well, Christmas is like that too. Christmas is a story of a great rescue. If you have your Bible handy, I want you to open to a passage of Scripture, and I want to look at very briefly with you this morning and give you three things to think about this morning. Because I want to talk about God's great rescue mission. There's a little bitty book in the last part of the New Testament that's called Titus. Titus was a man who was a pastor of a church on the island of Crete in the Mediterranean. And Paul, who was the great missionary apostle, was writing to this pastor, and he was encouraging him. He was helping him if he could. And even in the midst of that, what Paul, if you know the background of Paul, you know that Paul himself had been rescued. Paul's story is found in the book of Acts, chapters 8 and 9. And you see how Paul was trying to, he was taking the lives of people in the early church. He wanted to shut down the gospel. He wanted to shut down the church, if you will. But God appeared to him on the road to Damascus, a great light shone, and Paul met Jesus Christ in a very, very dramatic kind of way, and he was rescued from darkness and delivered to light. Now, that's a backdrop for what Paul is going to write to this pastor on the island of Crete to encourage him, but also to remind the members of that church and the people who are part of that church of what God had done for them. And you and I need to be reminded of that too. Even if we've already been rescued, even if we've already come to a place where we've put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, we need to be reminded of that. But we also need to be reminded about it if we've never done that. If we've never put our faith and our trust in Jesus. Listen to just a few verses, and then we'll make two or three comments on them. Titus chapter 3, and I want to begin at verse 3. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others, and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Let me share three things with you out of these verses this morning that might speak to your heart. Number one is this: we are all on the naughty list. We are. Supposedly, Santa has this list, right? And supposedly, he checks it twice. Well, let me just tell you something. You're already on it. You don't need it to be checked twice. That's what the Bible speaks to every one of us here. That's what Paul was saying to these believers. Look at verse 3. You'll see it here on the screen. Look at verse 3, what Paul says to them. Now, look how he says this. For we ourselves, who's he talking to? He's speaking about himself, and he's speaking about those other people. He said, for we ourselves were once, past tense. In other words, we used to be this way. But then something happened. We'll look at that in a moment. He says, we were once foolish. Now watch this. Disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions. In other words, just whatever pleased us. And pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy. In other words, we were angry and hateful. We were hated by others and hating one another. That's not a very pleasant picture, is it? That's not a happy day, is it, at all? But folks, listen to me. That's how we were. Before you come to know Jesus, before you find the joy of Jesus and the hope that is found in Jesus, this is how we are. Our lives are not complete. Our lives are not fulfilled. We don't find the true purpose and meaning of our lives until we find it in Jesus Christ. We are all on the naughty list. The Bible says that. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not, how many? One. Not a single one. All of us are guilty. All of us have that problem. Well, that's the second thing that I want you to see in this passage is we have a generous and gracious, loving rescuer. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ is our rescuer? Well, that's what John 3:16 is all about, isn't it? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not, what, perish? But have what? What does it say? Have everlasting life. That's eternal life. The life of the ages. A life that is complete and full and free. Well, that's exactly what Paul talks about here. Look in verse 4. He says, okay, this is how we were. We were all on the naughty list. But look in verse 4. But there's a contrast. Something happened to change that. A force was enacted that made that all different. Here's what he said. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about what happened at Christmas when Jesus Christ came to this planet, born as Bethlehem's babe, but left this planet as heaven's hero, having lived, died, and rose from the dead. He is the one, notice what Paul says, the goodness and loving kindness. That word goodness means good, but implied in that is the idea of generosity. He is generous. Generous how? Generous in His mercy. He is generous in His love. God is a generous God. So generous that He would not even spare from giving to us His only begotten Son. That's how generous God is. And not only that, it says that He is what? He is loving. He loves us with a great love that we cannot even begin to fathom. Well, what did He come to do? What's the whole purpose of Jesus being born? What's the whole purpose of the cross? Well, He says it right here. When the Savior appeared, He saved us. That word saved literally means to be rescued from death and danger and harm. He saved us. He saved us from a sure and certain death. How? By His death on the cross. Amen? Jesus died for my sin. Jesus died for your sin. He died for the sin of the world. Why? Because of His great love for each one of us. Now, there's a qualification here. Paul wants to make something clear to the folks that he's writing to. And it's something that we need to be very clear about. Now, watch what he says here. There's a not here. He saved us, and then he says, not. Not because of works done by us in righteousness. Are you getting that? You hear what he's saying? You can't be good enough. You can't do enough good things to equal to or to earn what Jesus did on the cross for us. You can't be good enough. You know why? You're on the naughty list. That's why. None of us can be good enough. None of us could, even if we began today and did as many good things as we could think of, even if we had an endless supply of money and we could just give money out right and left and help people and all of this, we could do that to the end of our days. And what he's saying is that would never, ever even begin to equal what God gave us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, there's something else here. How in the world does this happen? Well, watch. There's another word that you need to see here. He says, not because of works done by us, but, here's another contrast, but according to His own mercy. Whose mercy? God's mercy. How did He do it? How did God change us? How did He take the sin out of us? What has changed about us? Here's how it happens. But according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, God has washed you clean by what Jesus has done for us. You ever gotten a stain on one of your favorite pieces of clothing, something you really like? Man. And you tried everything known to mankind to get that stain out, and it just won't come out. You been there? You know what I'm talking about? But listen to me. The stain of sin which runs deep in us, it can't be taken out by works, good works, things that we do. You see that? It's always there. But there is one thing that can remove that stain in our lives, that stain that sin has created. And that is the blood of Jesus Christ, the precious Lamb of God. John, in John chapter 1, doesn't talk about the birth of Jesus, but he says, has John the Baptist say this about John, about Jesus? He says, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. How do you get off the naughty list? Through the transformation of Jesus Christ in your life. You can't do it. Only He can do it. And that can only happen when you and I put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. One more thing that I want you to, that I want you to see is that we have joy because of Jesus' great gift to us. That's what this has been about this morning. I have joy this morning. Most of you this morning have a great joy this morning because as we sing these songs, as we hear the retelling of this story, it causes joy to well up inside of us. That's my story. That's about me. That's how I was washed and regenerated. Jesus changed my life. And He's given me the promise and the hope of eternity. Look at verses 6 and 7. He says, whom He poured out on us richly. There's God's generosity. What did He pour out? His loving kindness, His mercy, His grace. He poured it out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace. Now, what does that mean? When you're justified by His grace, it means you are made right with God. In other words, when Jesus Christ comes into your heart and your life, and you have confessed your sin, and you have trusted Him by faith, guess what happens? You are made right with God. You are justified by grace. Not of anything you've done, but by everything that He has done. So being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. In other words, what that means is we're adopted into God's family, and we are given the promise and the hope that when we leave this life through death, that we are going to spend eternity with God because of what Jesus has done for us. Listen to me, and that all began. That all began to take place when Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. Part of God's plan from eternity, but fulfilled there through the life of His Son, Jesus Christ, and then His death, and then His resurrection. And so I wonder this morning, do you have that kind of joy? Do you have that kind of peace in your life, where you know that things are settled between you and God, where you know that if something were to happen to you, that your life would just suddenly end, that you know that even though your life would end, it really wouldn't end because you're going to be with Jesus forever in heaven. I want you to bow your heads with me, please. And here in a moment, we're going to have just some moments of responding, both to what the music has spoken today and to the word that I've just spoken. Would you receive this morning God's great gift to you? Would you come this morning and say, God, I want to admit I've done wrong. I want to admit my need of you, and I want to put my faith in my trust. And you can do that this very morning. That's what I'm asking you to do. That's what God is extending to each of you, is His invitation today to trust Him.